One of the central concepts of the Catholic faith is the concept of sin. Since religion is the practice by which we approach God and try to please Him, the very first thing that the practice of religion entails is removing anything that keeps us away from God. So the first step on the road to God is the removal of sin. Of course, it's not the only step, it's the beginning though. Now, our good Lord knew this, and in His wisdom, He gave us very powerful means of overcoming sin, primarily the sacrament of penance. But I think it's a common experience for a lot of us that we find that we have habits of sin, and we tend to fall into the same sins repeatedly. And that's a serious obstacle to our spiritual life. And we might even be tempted to wonder if that might mean that we aren't truly sorry for our sins, because we go in and say we're sorry for them, and then we come out and do them again. So I wanted to talk today about the concept of true sorrow in confession, and how to know if we have it or not. Like so many other concepts of our religion, the concept of sorrow for sin is a little bit abstract and not obvious. So the standard method to help us understand the mysteries of our faith is to compare them with things that we do understand using analogies. So we can understand better the idea of turning away from sin by thinking about other things that we've turned away from in our lives, and see how the two compare. One of the big things that people turn away from sometimes is the habit of smoking. A lot of people say that's one of the hardest habits to break. It takes a lot of willpower to give up smoking cigarettes. And when you hear people talk about the time they gave up smoking, you can just tell that it was a traumatic experience for them. They talk about the misery they felt and the cravings that they had, especially in the beginning, or maybe even for a long time for some people. And they say how hard it was to overcome these cravings, and how even now they can't stand to be around people who are smoking, can't stand to smell that smoke because it's just so hard to resist going back. And so they just have to leave wherever they are when someone starts smoking a cigarette. And I'm always impressed when I talk to former smokers and I hear their story of how they quit, because you see a great inner strength and a great determination in these people. So to apply this to sin, we should ask ourselves if we have the same determination to avoid sin as someone who has decided to give up smoking, which is maybe one of the most difficult decisions they ever made. Can we just sit there and grit our teeth the way they do until the temptation passes? Well, we have to. Because if we don't have the same attitude to our sins as someone who has given up smoking has to cigarettes, then we're not truly sorry for our sins. But to take another example, we've all had bad experiences with a certain place or a certain type of person or situation, and it becomes like a painful subject for us, something that we don't even want to think about. Let's say we go to a particular restaurant chain and we have a terrible experience. The food maybe took forever to come and it tasted terrible, and the waiter was rude, and so on. Just everything you can imagine that can go wrong in a restaurant went wrong. After that, we can't even think about that restaurant chain without just a strong disgust. When we drive past one of them, it brings back just all the horrible memories. And we just hope that they go out of business. Charitably, of course. And when one of our friends mentions that restaurant, we say, please don't even say that name in my presence. I don't even want to think about that place ever again. That's how we are when we reject something and when we hate something. So we should have the same attitude with our sins. When we see something that entices us to fall back into our habits of sin, of course it will be appealing to us initially because it's a temptation, but our intellectual response should be the same as with that restaurant. We should think, please don't even remind me of that time that I offended God so badly. I don't ever want to do that again. I don't even want to be reminded of when I did that. The example is a little bit different in the sense that we aren't drawn to that restaurant anymore, and we are drawn to our sins on a certain level because it's a temptation. But our intellectual response should be one of revulsion. And the two can certainly exist side by side in our minds. It's not impossible. Or to take another similar example, it's like thinking, yes, it would be fun to drink too much liquor, but I remember the hangover I had last time I did that, and I don't ever want to feel like that again, so get that drink away from me. It's you can think of it that way too. One danger with habits of sin is that we can get on a sort of weekly schedule of sin and repentance without even realizing it. We can get in the habit of committing sin during the week and then repenting on Sunday. So Monday through Friday are like regular sin days, and maybe Saturday is like a big sin day because we have the whole day free to ourselves. And then Sunday is confession day. But that's also something that we have to work against. We have to carry our good intentions from Sunday with us throughout the entire week in order for our sorrow to be sincere. We have to continue our good intentions. This concept of having true and sincere repentance for our sins is a serious business because our forgiveness in confession truly depends on us having a real sorrow for our sins. And St. Alphonsus said something that's very scary. He said that it's possible for someone who commits mortal sins habitually to confess his sins on his deathbed and receive the last sacraments and still lose his soul because he wasn't truly turned away from his sin. Someone like that might not even be fully aware of it if he has gotten into the habit of confessing sin in such a way that maybe he doesn't even really intend to avoid that sin and its occasions anymore, or doesn't intend to avoid that sin in the future. He may have forgotten in practice what true sorrow really is, and that would invalidate his confession. And that's just a terrifying thought, but that's St. Alphonsus. He was a doctor of the church and a pastor of souls who said that. And it can happen, especially with sins of impurity that are so addictive. And that's why the time to work against these things is during our lifetime. Because even in such a good case scenario like this, in which someone has all the sacraments available on his deathbed, it's still possible for him to lose his soul if he has just gotten into the habit of not really turning away from his sins. And if someone develops just a casual attitude like that toward his sins during his life, then he's going to have the same attitude probably when he's dying, and he's going to lose his soul. So how do we have proper sorrow for our sins? Well, we've probably all broken some addiction or some bad habit in our lives. A lot of people have given up smoking, as I was saying. Or we may have given up watching TV, for example, or we might know somebody that did. And whenever someone gives up a major habit like that, it always takes a sort of restructuring of their lives to make it stick. If we want to give up TV, for example, it's not enough to tell ourselves that we're just not going to pick up the remote control anymore, and that's all we do. The remote is still sitting right there. what we have to do is get rid of the whole TV set. And not only that, but we also have to come up with some other activity to do when we would otherwise be watching television. Otherwise, we're not going to persevere. Or we may have decided to not to eat fast food or take out food anymore, whether for health reasons or financial reasons or whatever. Well, it's not enough just to say that and that's it. We have to start by making ourselves a bag lunch to take to work every day. Because if we don't do that, if we just show up at work like any other day, then we're going to find ourselves hungry at lunchtime with nothing to eat. And there's a fast food place right across the street with the doors open, welcoming us. And our coworkers will say, we're going to go across the street and get some fast food. You want to come along? And it'll be very difficult for us to resist if we haven't worked around that habit already. And not only that, we have to take all of the pizza coupons off of our refrigerator and just throw them away. All of the coupons for a free cheesy bread with an order of a large pizza. It has to go in the garbage, otherwise we're just going to go back. We should ask ourselves, when I'm leaving confession, is my attitude just that I'm glad that's over and what's the next thing I'm going to do today? I crossed that off the list. Or is it a feeling of deep gratitude to God for His mercy? Are we thinking firmly about how we're going to avoid falling into these sins and whatever leads to them? Are we trying to think of a creative solution, of creative solutions of how to avoid the occasions of these sins that will inevitably come our way? And this is important, are we thinking as seriously about that as we would be about any other difficult problem that we have in our lives that needs us to come up with some clever solution? Because we all have practical problems in our lives, like how am I going to pay for something that I want, or how do I avoid having the boss find out about the mistake that I made at work yesterday, how do I buy myself this beautiful necklace without my husband finding out, things like this. Or why is my car making this noise? I wonder what might be going wrong in the engine. How do I get permission from my parents to let me go on a trip with my friends? How do I manipulate them into letting me go? We all have problems like this that we deal with every day. And when we have a really difficult problem, we think carefully and creatively about it from every possible angle until we come up with the best solution that we can possibly think of. Well, do we take the same amount of care with our habits of sin? Do we analyze our previous falls into sin and try to figure out what went wrong last time we fell? How did we leave our guard down when we fell? We should look back on our emotional state that we were in last time we fell and see if we were maybe tired or not feeling well and think how to either avoid that or protect ourselves next time that happens. Or think, well, maybe the last time we committed that sin was because we were idle, so how do we avoid idleness in the future? Or maybe we saw the danger coming, but we told ourselves it'll be fine, it's not going to be a problem, and we didn't try to stay out of trouble. We have to try to think about those things and then when we think about them, we should try to figure out how to either avoid having those circumstances come up again, or if they're unavoidable, to prepare ourselves, how to prepare ourselves for it next time. We need to use the same method in avoiding sin as we use in confronting the problems that we face in our daily lives. And if someone can't be bothered to do that, to think through his weaknesses and try to figure out how to figure out ways around them, then someone like that is probably not sorry for his sins. If someone spends time and effort on these sorts of thoughts and devotes quality thinking time to figure out how to eliminate these habits of sin from his life, then he can be sure that he truly is turned away from them. His heart has rejected them. But if someone walks out of confession and just figures, oh well, I'll just hope for the best, and that's it, then if that person has confessed serious sins, then they really have to examine if they're sorry for their sins, if they truly turned away from them. Someone who puts almost no effort into avoiding future sins is probably not sorry and is probably making a bad confession. Now, in all of what I'm saying about the importance of us trying to avoid sin, I don't want to give the impression that we should rely on our own strength or our own efforts at avoiding temptation, because our own wills are very weak, and it's only by God's grace that we can do anything good at all. And the greatest means that we have of avoiding sin is God's grace, and that is far more powerful than our own weak will. But the reason I'm putting so much emphasis on our own efforts at avoiding sin is because, as the very wise saying goes, God helps those who help themselves. God wants to see us doing everything that we can to avoid sin, to avoid temptation. And if he sees that we are putting in our best efforts, that we are bringing our A game, as they say, to our spiritual life, to these battles against the devil, then God will give us the victory. And of course, it should be understood that when I talk about how we should think about how to avoid falling into sin, that also includes, as an essential element, a lot of prayer in our daily prayer schedule, asking for help from God in our battles against our lower nature. That the two have to go together. We have to pray as though everything depended on God, and then work as though everything depended on us. And we can take this as another sign that we are truly sorry for our sins, if we pray earnestly for God's help in avoiding our habitual sins. On the other hand, if someone only says his penance and then doesn't worry about his sins after that, then he's not trying that hard, and he doesn't have all that much sorrow. But if we pray fervently to God for help, then that is a sign that we are truly sorry. This is what true sorrow consists in. This is what we need in order to be forgiven of our sins. That we just have to hate the memory of the evil that we've done. And we have to take at least the same amount of care in avoiding the occasions of sin and avoiding falling into the same sins again as we take in avoiding the usual problems of our daily life. If someone is in doubt about his confessions, he should ask his confessor if he thinks he's truly sorry. And anyone who doesn't measure up very well to the standards that I've given here should turn to the refuge of sinners, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and ask for her help. There is no sinner that ever turned to her and was rejected. Let us ask her to fill us with a horror for sin and a true sorrow, and she will make us weep tears of compunction that will save us from eternal damnation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.